This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as we continue our study today of the all-sufficiency of the Bible. We have looked at various ethical theories as set forth by human philosophers as over against the revelation of God is found in the sacred scriptures, the Bible. The Bible is all-sufficient in every phase and facet of everything that is really important to man, and presently we are studying the fact that the Bible is all-sufficient, morally speaking. Having shown the falsity of human philosophers, we have turned now to the Bible, to biblical ethics. And we have seen, first of all, that it is a revealed ethic and not a speculative one. It means that we turn to the Bible, we find the revelation of God, we find the message which God has given to us, rather than our simply sitting down and philosophizing about it, of coming to mere human decisions about it. Now, I want to give you a number of passages, and I want to urge you to write them down if you can and read them in your own Bible to see what we're talking about here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 makes clear that the Bible, all Scripture, is inspired of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and God does not lie, Hebrews 6 and 18. Therefore, the Bible teaches truth. And the Bible is complete. It is able to furnish man completely unto every good work. Further, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we learn that no scripture is a private interpretation, but holy men of old spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the sacred will of God, inspired not only in all of its parts, but down to the very last word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. In 2 John verses 9 to 11, we're taught that we are not to go beyond the things that are written. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching or doctrine of Christ hath not God. And then we're told that if anyone comes to you and brings not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So you see how the Bible places essentiality upon our being obedient, recognizing not only the inspiration, but the authority of the Bible. We must not do anything in religion for which we do not have Bible authority. And that means the Bible is right when it comes to matters of lying and stealing and committing fornication and adultery and murder and so on. Those things are not changed by the situation. They're absolute. They're right. They're wrong in any and every situation for any and every person. Galatians 5, 19 to 21, a catalog from the pen of Paul, indicating the works of the flesh and that those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, which makes clear that the way of man is not in himself, is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And these and many other passages from the Bible make clear the crucial role that the Bible plays in God's scheme of things. So, the biblical ethic is a revealed, not a human speculative ethic. In the next place, the biblical ethic is a metaphysical ethic. And by that I mean it depends upon the view of man, his needs, man's nature, and his relationship to God. You cannot really understand the biblical ethic if you hold to the theory of evolution. If you hold that by purely naturalistic means, without anything behind it, without God, that man has simply evolved, that he is nothing more really than matter in motion, that he is molecules in motion. Rather, the Bible teaches that God has created man. Man is not evolved. The Bible teaches that God formed man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Apostle Paul made clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that Adam was first formed and then Eve. It is clear that Paul means for us to recognize that Adam was a real, particular individual. He was the first man on this earth, and Eve was the first woman. Therefore, man was created. He was not evolved. And that has altogether to do with our viewpoint toward ethics. If you hold to evolution, you'll hold that man is nothing more than a beast, and therefore to commit fornication promiscuously is, of course, nothing of any real importance. But our time's gone for today. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back next time as we continue our study of the Bible as the all-sufficient revelation of God to man.